You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
If you're building a SaaS business, achieving compliance with SOC 2, ISO 27001, or other in-demand frameworks can unlock major growth for your company and establish customer trust. However, this process is often time-intensive and very costly. Vanta automates up to 90% compliance, getting you audit ready quickly and saving up to 85% of associated costs. And Vanta scales with your business with a market-leading trust management platform to help you continually monitor compliance, unify risk management, and streamline security reviews. Join 7,000 global companies like Atlassian and Dovetail that use Vanta to build trust and prove security in real time. My listeners get 10% off Vanta when they go to vanta.com/fun. That's vanta.com/fun. Hi, I'm Chris Titley and this is FinTech Fun, the podcast where I speak with Australian FinTech founders and executive management and have some fun along the way, gaining insights about the person behind the brand. FinTech Fun is part of Day One, the network dedicated to founders, operators and investors.
So I'm joined by Danny Pozeski, COO and co-founder of Instantia. Danny, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Hi, Chris. Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Danny, let's talk about Instantia, the origins of the business, obviously a very new business, but a little bit about yourself and how you came to that point to start this.
Yeah, look, I finished university back in 2007, wanted to get into finance, didn't know anything about finance or what I really wanted to get into. But just after a few jobs, found myself in 2009 working for a company called Afex, which was a global payments and foreign exchange specialist. Absolutely loved it. Loved the foreign exchange markets, the fast changing dynamic pace and, you know, markets moving around. And it was just something that was really exciting for me back then and still is now. And worked there till 2021, where we sold the company. So Afex sold in 2021. And at that point, I new job after about 13 years in the same company, wanted to stay in the industry. And just thought, let's sort of look to see if I could do this for myself.
Excellent. And in regards to setting up your own business, was it along the lines of that you saw a gap in the market or some sort of deficiencies in particular areas of the foreign exchange market? Or was it the fact that you thought there was a big enough pie to start with some complementary solutions?
It's actually funny how it came about. At the start, it was, let's just start a little consulting firm and see how it goes, and did that for a little bit. There's so many gaps in the market, right? And most of it, and almost all of it can be or will be solved by technology. But when I was first starting out, did not have the resources, did not have the capital. And it wasn't something that was originally a thought of mine to do until I was, through my network, introduced to a company called VNG, who is the first tech unicorn company in Vietnam.
Right.
And yeah, through this introduction, I was able to then sort of really sit back and say, okay, where can we take this, right? And some of the first things that we looked at were, what were the gaps in the market. Around 2012, 2013, options really hit the market here in Australia. So, what we do is we help businesses manage the FX volatility risk to their business. And a very sort of simple product is a forward exchange contract that allows you to lock in today's rate to use later on. Then options became really popular because it started giving clients that security of downside, but then the potential to perform if the market moved in their favor. So that really took off around 2012, 2013. And that's where we did see a lot of growth. Mm. But what never eventuated with that was the technology to support, the clients through that journey. They are very sort of complex and sophisticated products, and there's not much transparency around it. And over the years, as a manager, I saw a lot of clients get unstuck through this? So, yeah, sorry, long answer to your question.
No, it's been great. I mean, the use cases are, I suppose, far and wide in particular industries, but ones that come to mind for me are things like agriculture, mining, a lot of exports from Australia, and also a lot of companies that do businesses with offshore groups. Who is your target market, and what are you looking to do in regards to getting your name out there?
Yeah, I mean, look, you mentioned a couple of key industries, especially around the export side, the mining and agriculture. And from my experience, I mean, we deal with any industry that imports and exports, right? So, you know, some of the biggest are the agricultural and mining industries. And one problem that they have very tight margins because of the global competition that they come up against. So having very tight margins, every cent the Aussie dollar moves up or down could be in their favor or against them. So when they're securing their profits, you know, they need to then, they'll secure very, very small margins. But if they could get the upside, they're going to go for that. And that's how sort of options became very prevalent within the industry. But then what didn't come with that was that lack of technology.
And Danny, in regards to who you're targeting at those various organisations, I'd imagine there'd be CFOs and all the treasury groups, etc.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we mainly deal with financial controllers, CFOs, and sometimes, you know, we'll then present to the board who'll then make a group decision where the CFO will ultimately run with that decision made. But yeah, we work with, you know, from smaller end clients, which will be the business owners. You know, our target market is really anything. We don't discriminate on size. You know, we've worked a lot with clients doing smaller volumes around $2-4 million a year, who over time become your larger clients doing $10-30 million a year in you know, global imports or exports.
And Danny, on the technology side of things, I mean, you mentioned that a couple of times in regards to the tech that's coming with it. How have you gone about building that tech, and so far the feedback that you've got?
Yeah, the thing about options is your clients are really relying on you to do the right thing by them. So as a dealer, you need to sit back, and as you're getting clients into options, there's a lot of variables. So you have knockouts, knock-ins, and leverage products. And the more you do this and the more you sort of go out over time, is the higher risk you're adding to the client's portfolios. So you really need to stay on top of this. And as you're managing, you know, 50 to 100 clients at once, it can get very hard for the dealer to do themselves. Clients get given position statements sent to them, you know, daily, which are very sort of complicated to read. They literally just say, you know, bought and sold calls and puts. That doesn't give them much explanation. So even though you explain an option to a client, they understand it. When you're sort of layering in over and over again over a whole portfolio, it becomes very hard to grasp. So that has been the biggest issue within the industry, is sort of getting this out to clients and getting them to really understand it. So there's been nothing around this apart from a position statement or an Excel spreadsheet that gets sent to clients. So when we sort of came together to put in Stantia, you know, to create the company, we really wanted to stand out and say, what is going to be our point of difference? We didn't want to just be another player in the market doing the same old thing. And having that, the technology company behind us, that, you know, they gave us access to almost 60 developers full time for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which we had an initial plan, which was to build a visual of the client's products, which we did, as well as to move the spot rate or a spot ladder up and down to see how the portfolio would perform at a future point in time. So clients could then say, okay, if today's rate is, you know, Aussie US 66, what happens if it goes to 68 and how am I impacted? So being able to create this and then now taking it to market and putting it in front of clients, we've seen the reactions of clients has actually, to me, been the best part, because they're seeing risks in their portfolio they didn't have, where, you know, you pull the spot ladder down and say, if we went to 63 tomorrow, you have no protection. Or if you went up,
yep,
you're now leveraged at you know, a certain rate. So yeah, having been the ability to create that for the clients has made a huge difference so far for us.
And I think in those what-if scenarios, you'll be seeing groups have a lot more control over their finances, and obviously prone to shock markets and shock effects, which can happen in currency. And yeah, the Aussie dollar has been reasonably volatile, as you mentioned recently. But, you know, when we saw the unprecedented events of what happened in 2020 on financial markets, there can be quite huge swings, which can materially damage or the other way around, enhance one's balance sheet. How are you finding companies using the platform going, actually, if we did a put here and a call here, et cetera, this is the way that we will actually, you know, resoundingly sleep better at night?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, 2020 was really interesting with everything that happened with COVID and the markets. I think we fell from, off the top of my head, 78 Aussie US down to about 58. So you're talking 20 cents in a very short period of time. And a lot of clients that did have that cover were in good positions and they used it up. But then ultimately they're stuck now at lower rates at, say, 58 cents. And the Aussie was sort of creeping around that 58 and 60 mark. And where a lot of clients were caught out, they started hedging at lower rates, you know, just due to the uncertainty.
Yes.
So when the market did recover, I mean, the one thing that, you know, clients can do now to avoid that from happening is they could actually go onto the platform and play around with the spot rate and say, okay, if the market does go down tomorrow and does shoot, you know, below 60 again, how am I impacted? What are my positions?
Mm.
The one thing about options, you want to try to keep them low risk, medium risk at best. A lot of clients get enticed into going to these higher risk options that have certain parameters like a knockout. So what happens with a knockout? If the market falls below through a rate, you're knocked out of your protection.
Mm.
Right. So there's no genuine hedge there. So what we saw back then during 2020 was a lot of clients were chasing this outperformance and chasing 80 as a higher rate. So when the market fell below and went down to, you know, 58, 59, they were knocked out of all their positions.
Yeah, right.
And this is that visibility that they didn't have, where, you know, the platform we've created through our RMI will allow a client to literally drag the spot ladder down and say, if we were to go through the COVID crash again in 2020 and the market falls to 58, what is my genuine protection?
Yep.
How much is my business actually covered?
And Danny, recently launched the business. And if we repeat this podcast in 12 months' time, where would you like to see the business?
Well, we are looking at overseas markets. So we recently were granted our MAS license in Singapore, which is exciting.
Awesome.
So we'll be launching in Singapore in September. And we've applied for our license in the UK as well. So in 12 months, if I was speaking to you, we'd be a truly a global company set up with our offices here in Sydney as well as Singapore and London.
Awesome, Danny. Now, mate, part of the FinTech Fund series, I always try and have a chat to founders about what they do in their spare time. Obviously, being a startup founder, it's very hard to kind of switch off. Some people don't switch off. Some people do. It's up to every individual and how they're going. But from your point of view, I'd be keen to understand maybe something about you that others don't know about.
Well, while I started, we started Instantia. I didn't have any kids. Well, my wife was pregnant. Now have three kids under two and a half, which...
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Some people call that peak hour traffic.
Yeah, it has been very challenging. So I don't think I've switched off for almost 3 years straight now, which has been a challenge. But the one thing I have gotten into since then is golf.
Yeah, right.
It is a very interesting game and one that does challenge myself. And I'm able to switch off while I'm playing. It's a good 4 hours to myself.
Yes.
Sometimes five. Sometimes six or seven if I get a few drinks in, but
the 19th hole, yeah,
that's it. It's my favorite one, and it's probably the only sort of time I get to myself once a week, and it's something that I do.
Yeah, no, Danny, I'm curious about the golf thing. Where do you think you get challenged the most on the course? Is it the teeing off? Is it the choice of clubs, or is it sort of the angles and what to do when you're putting?
It's everything, because you think it's an easy game and when you finish you go, oh, why don't I do this and that, and then you actually do it and it's hard. And for me, the biggest challenge and what I love about golf is I'm playing myself and I'm just trying to continually better myself every time. I'm not playing against anybody else. I know what my best score is and that's what I'm going after every game, and it's hard. if you could avoid it. I'd rather three kids under two and a half is easier than golf.
Well, I was going to say, once you finish the golf course, you're going back into what's pretty hard as well with the three kids or so, mate. Do you get into your TV shows yet, your kids' TV shows, or they're a bit young?
Yeah, Miss Rachel's very popular. I'm not sure if you've heard that one. Peppa Pig, Miss Rachel, it's Wiggles, it's everything. So I've stopped watching.
Paw Patrol, there was Bluey, there was a whole lot of them back in the day. And I remember Bluey's obviously still very popular, based from Brisbane. Yeah. So as a Brisbaneite, very proud of that particular show. But Peppa Pig always delights our family as well.
Definitely. I think the one thing is you stop watching your own shows and you start watching the kids' shows.
Yeah, and you start recognising the episodes as opposed to which Sopranos episode you recognize. It's now which Peppa Pig episode.
You start singing along with the songs. That's when you know you're done.
That's it. Danny, thanks so much for having a chat today and about the origins of the business behind the scenes and exactly why you started it, the progress that you've achieved thus far, and also the future outlook into becoming a global company, a big milestone achieved there with accreditation in Singapore, and looking forward to catching up. Thanks again for being part of the FinTech Fun episode.
No worries, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast, brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.